Okay, another hour to go of open lines for you. Those of you on hold, just hang there. I'll get to you. Marcus in the Netherlands, I'll get to you as well when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Let's go to our Skype caller, Marcus in the Netherlands. There you go, Marcus. Now you're back with us.
Thank you, George.
Sure thing.
Hey, about the weekend.
Yeah, so what happened?
Well, you see, there's this fellow, and he's a good friend of mine for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been seeing him about a half year or so. And because I moved in between, he wanted to take a look at my house and, you know, see the city and all.
Sure.
So we came over this weekend, and so we would stay a few days. And but you know, when you look at this, and you know, it's Friday, and you know, we're preparing for stuff because he's coming and all. You don't know what the weekend's going to bring, and eventually we got in this very long conversation. And I don't know if you ever done this, but I guess you do. But this conversation lasted about 6 to 8, 10 hours, maybe.
One conversation?
Yeah.
No, I've never done that.
And that was, you know, with drinks in between and something to eat and
so forth. What'd you talk about?
Well, it started out as to get us to a certain point where we could understand each other. We were both telling a story, and then we noticed that we had a sort of communication distortion in it, and we didn't know why, so we tried to solve it. And this is where the conversation ends in a very deep...
Was it spiritual?
Yeah, all in between, because we are both a high-sensitive person.
All right, Marcus, so, but tell me, what happened?
Well, there's this point where you start to, and we had this both, that you start to have a sort of frustration against each other, and you have to break this in order to get to this goal where you want to go.
Were you fighting?
It was not fighting. It was sort of an uneasy feeling that you cannot temper it, you know? So you have to break through it to get to the goal of the conversation, and it was very, very enlightening.
Well, all right, good for you, Marcus. I got to tell you, of all the calls I've ever gotten in my life, you're the first one to want to talk about the kind of weekend you had. Pat in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Hi, Pat, go ahead.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my call so quickly.
No, it's okay.
This goes back to when I was, probably around 20 years old. I graduated high school in 71. And I was renting a room in a farmhouse with a couple that were from the New England area, I think around Boston.
Okay.
He had been a Marine. She was a stay-at-home everybody. Really sweet person. But she had a Ouija board. I didn't know about it until it came necessary to use it. And it was actually a good experience, because the dream I thought I was having, which turned out to be more like I woke up, but I had thought I must be dreaming, and the whole story centered on the fact that this was an old farmhouse, probably dated back to the 1700s when it was built.
That is old.
It was modernized, you know, electric plumbing and everything.
Sure.
And in Amish country, that's all around me. So natives had lived there, of course. And that was my experience. I saw a vision of people dressed, say 1800s. Long gowns and parasols, mm-hmm. with the ladies, and you know, the way they dressed then. And they were walking down steps, which I was on the second floor, so that made sense, except I was in a basement area in my vision dream. And in the picture on my wall, I saw a profile, which I say was a ghost, coming in and out of the picture. And it scared the living daylights out of me. And when I ran downstairs, it was actually like 3 a.m, still dark, but there had been light in the room. It was daylight in my room. So my friend came out, and she sat down. She goes, I don't know how you feel about Ouija boards, but we're going to see if we can contact this spirit.
Oh, at 3 a.m?
At 3 a.m. And this gentleman identified his name as Bitterot, which sounds kind of French.
Bitterot.
B-I-T-T-E-R-E-A-U-X.
Okay.
And the message was not to fear, but to pay attention to a dark night in June when the moon is full, which to me sounded like an eclipse. So, of course, every June it rolls around, I think, I wonder if there's going to be an eclipse, and it hasn't happened yet. So I don't know if it was just a big joke. You know, that's what she said. She said these spirits can be like total jokesters.
They can be tricksters.
Tricksters. And she also said that only time to fear is if you have fear, you'll draw in the negativity. So you must
that's
not
true.
Fear. You must, you're just curious. You want to know what's going on. And that was the end of it. So, but it was a good experience for me. And it opened up a doorway to investigating and inquiring about the spiritual realm. And I have learned that I have guardian spirits and guides. My aunt, who's the only living member on my mother's side of the family yet, has been doing the automatic writing for years. And she encouraged me to follow that. So I appreciate your show because this is what I need to hear, other people following
Absolutely.
That and not being afraid to talk about it to other people that have experienced it.
That's what we're here for. Tom, what do you got for us?
I got a tweet from Steve. What would you ask a ghost if you got the chance to interview one?
What's it like out there? What's it like on the other side? I mean, I'm curious. Wouldn't you want to ask him that?
That's the first thing I thought of, is what's it like in your environment?
What's it like out there?
Yeah.
And then I'd get into so many other things. I hope we could be allowed to interview a
That'd
ghost.
Be like a four-hour, five,
How would you like
hour?
To interview a ghost?
Be great.
That would be an interesting show.
By the way.
Go find me one.
I need to tell you this. I got a call from your mom today.
You did?
Yes.
She calls you a lot, just so people know.
She has an idea.
I know.
Apparently she ran
No, not about the Olympics.
Yeah.
She wants to change the medal system for the Olympics. As we know, today they give you gold, silver, and bronze for the three places. My mom was upset that a Olympic contestant did very well but fell.
The fifth one.
And was not able to get a gold medal. So my mom thinks for other people, we need to melt gold down and silver or bronze and do like a gold bronze medal.
She wants to do gold medal first place, second place 50% silver, 50% gold, and the third one silver.
Why is she calling you?
Because she wanted to know if you ran the idea by me. I said, you're probably going to have a tough time with the Olympic Committee, but you know you can give it a shot. But you know what, though? It was sweet. It was nice.
She's probably listening now in Detroit. Hi, Mom.
Oh, it's late. But she felt bad for the girl.
Oh, she did. And my mother is a heartwarming person. And I got to tell you, Tom, she's always thinking of something. I mean, who would come up with, this is an 88-year-old woman.
It's hilarious.
Who would come up with changing the medal system of the Olympics?
I didn't know what to say at first, and then I just said, you know what? Not a bad idea.
Does she call you at the office or on your cell phone?
No, she always calls me on my cell.
And you always take the call? Cause right
well, if I miss it, I call back, definitely. Yeah. You know,
you never know what's going on.
She thinks she's living too long. I said, no.
No, absolutely not. I hope she goes on forever. I mean, there's a lot of longevity in her family. I mean, her brother just turned 92. I mean,
it's so great because, like, as she was telling me this story, she's just so serious.
She was very serious. This is like her plan, her idea, and she wants me to be the champion for it. I said, "Come on, Mom. I don't even. I'm not even watching the Olympics. What are you doing watching the Olympics?"
Oh God.
Oh well.
Great lady though.
That's moms. That's what they're there for. And you can't say no to her. You got to listen.
No. I didn't mind listening. But she's just.
She called me yesterday, telling me this. Yesterday, so she's on you now. She wants this done.
I want you to forget.
No. All right, Todd in Worcester, Massachusetts. Hi, Todd. Go ahead.
Hey, George. I have a great story for you, but before I tell you, I got to tell you a fact that'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
Detroit has about 600,000 people in it, right?
Yeah, you used to have much more, but it's sinking.
Right. Now, to get a better idea how much 600,000 people, and if that would be like filling six of those college football stadiums, which is huge, right?
Right. Like now, University of Michigan, those big ones.
Exactly. Now, every day, 150,000 people die, but 360,000 people are born. So, to put in perspective, every 3 days, the earth grows by pretty much the city of Detroit with all those people. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is when you think of it like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now my story is I deliver packages for UPS.
Okay.
And we had a meeting the other day, and they said, we don't know what the hell is going on, but people are getting bitten by dogs like crazy. 28 people in the district have been bitten.
You mean now, UPS drivers have been bitten?
Oh, yeah. And to the point where they said, you pull up to a house, if there's a dog out front or inside, we don't even care if it's a golden retriever. You beep your horn. If you can't get a hold of the customer, you don't even deliver the package.
Don't deliver it. Wow.
It's that bad.
And I guess you just can't put it on the sidewalk, can you, the package?
Well, if you get the customer's attention, you say, hey, I'm just going to leave it right here. You can't just leave it there, but it's to the point where like they're like, you don't know what's going on. Usually it's four or five dogs
by the year.
Almost 30.
These animals are getting uptight about something.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they said the bites, it's not like these little nips. They said some of these bites are absolutely vicious to the face, and it's just like odd. It's just weird.
I'm going to check into an animal expert and find out what's happening. Something's happening earthwise, and they're just whacked out, these dogs.
I know, definitely. It's like they said, usually the few, but I mean 30, you know what I mean?
It is. Hey, Todd, how many of your packages are from Amazon?
A third. One third.
One third. That's a lot of business for you guys, isn't it?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I get on the truck every day, and I have about 400 packages, so 130 or so on Amazon. It's crazy.
I mean, have you found that the internet has helped your business as a UPS driver?
I think definitely. I mean, it feels like almost, I mean, you get on the truck every day, and you know how the Amazon stickers, it's like all you can see all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's easy to shop that way. If you don't need something right away, you go online and just order it.
Yeah, and there's lots of nights I'm still delivering packages till 9 o'clock at night. It's not just Christmas time anymore. It's all year round.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever delivered? And I know a lot of these things are in boxes, so you really don't know, but I mean, have you had something where it made noises and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'll pick up packages and as I'm walking to the customer's house, you can tell obviously it's like some type of toy that's singing and stuff like that.
How about live animals? Has anybody ever shipped a live animal through you folks?
All I get, I think, like crickets and stuff like that, but nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah. Jeez. That's something. Okay. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Todd. Appreciate it. Yep. My mother was born real close to where you are right now. She was in Fitchburg. Nick is in Joplin, Missouri. Welcome to the program. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I had an experience with my parent that was dying last year that I wanted to share.
Okay, sorry
to
hear
that. We were actually preparing her room because we're going to move in for hospice and all that.
Sure, yeah.
And so we were moving the bed, getting everything situated. Me and my uncle see these feet prints start steaming into the hardwood floor. And they were bowed footprints. Like, they looked human, but they were very bowed. And so I went back in and told Nova, the one that was dying, I said, hey, there's something weird going on in that room. So she goes, well, I want you to go do an EVP. So I went in there, and I said, whose feet prints are in the room right now? Who's in here? And the EVP said, the angel of death.
Oh.
I mean, it's loud and clear. I still got on the computer. So she got creeped out. She wouldn't even sleep in that room. So she ended up dying in the living room. But after she died, she contacted me twice. And I asked her, you know, after we had this experience, I asked her to contact me once she got to wherever, dimension, whatever. And so she showed me this doorway. It looked like an old castle door, and there was like a curtain on it. And I said, what's it like to be dead? And she said, it's like this. And she took the curtain, and she moved it back and forth. She goes, I'm this close to you all the time.
That's remarkable. And then how did that make you feel, by the way? Better?
Well, I'm a spiritual medium anyways. I do communicate, and I used to do EVPs. But, I mean, being your parent, communicating. And then she came to me in a sphere, and I asked her again, what's it like to be dead? She said, Nick, the spirit is beyond eternal. And she looked at me so serious. I mean, and she told me she was at peace. And, you know,
yeah,
it's just, it's amazing. But, I mean, those footprints, I've never seen anything like that. We saw that appear right before our eyes. I mean, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff.
Bowed footprints. That's weird.
Bowed. They had toes like us, but the foot was so bowed. And she said, that's an angel. And I said, oh, bull, that's not an angel. I'm going to go in there with the EVP recorder, and it said the angel of death. I could send you the
yeah,
clear as day.
Please email it to me. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I wanted to share that with you.
Okay, thanks, Nick. George@coasttocoastam.com. Love to take a listen to that. Bonnie in Pahrump, Nevada. Hey, Bonnie. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The reason I called, just let me get you off speaker here.
All right.
I have found out some information about the death of Princess Diana that just blew me away.
You sound like you're off speaker again.
Okay, hold on. Is that better?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm
so you found out something about the death of Princess Diana?
Yeah. And anyway, there was, I hope you have enough time for me to explain, because it's going to take me about 3 minutes to explain.
I'll put you on hold and get you after the break, okay?
Okay.
We'll do that, but let me go to John in Canada on the international line. Hey, John, go ahead.
Hello, George, how are you?
Good.
That's great. I have two things. I have a ghost thing. I wanted to get on the other night, too, with the fellow with the self-defense, but...
He's gone now.
Who's gone?
The self-defense guy. He's gone.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other night.
Yeah, that's right. He's gone.
Oh, no. I know. But anyway, my aunt had moved up north, too, from Toronto, right down in Toronto. And we're actually further up than she is. But so I said, a friend of mine, he had a car. I didn't at that particular time. I said, why don't we drive up? You can meet my two cousins. They're beautiful. And you can meet them and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got to the farmhouse, all the lights that were on were in the kitchen and in the front room. Like, you could hear like the flicker or see the flickering like a television.
Yeah.
So there, I saw somebody there watching the TV, so I'm knocking on the door.
Nobody comes, right?
Yeah, and I said, Tom, go look in the window and see if you see anybody. Excuse me. And she said, no, there's nobody in there.
So all these things are on and there's nobody home?
Yeah. So then he says, a light just went on upstairs.
Jeez.
So then I back up, I look. My all time, I'm yelling, Janine, Valerie, because that was their names, and different lights kept going on all over the house. So we got in the car, and thought, well, I guess they're scared; they won't open the door or something. But because they were young at the time.
Well, you had ghosts in there, John. That's what you had, ghosts. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. By the way, getting lots of email on the muscular dystrophy letter that I read. It's a really sad story. He would show up at different places around St. Louis in a wheelchair. Somebody was always attending to him. And just sad to see something like that happen. You know, it's amazing. Jerry Lewis worked so many years trying to raise enough money for MD, and still they're not any closer. They really aren't. Okay, let's go to Bonnie in Pahrump, Nevada. Hey, Bonnie, thanks for holding over. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'll try to just kind of give you the kind of shorter version.
The cliff note version, as we say.
Well, I'll try. It's not going to be easy, but okay. So three weeks ago. They aired, television network aired several documentaries on Princess Diana and on her death. And one of them was about, it was called Princess Diana's Death, Case Closed. And then the next, and it gave some information, some new information that I had not known about the accident, and it, which enlightened me as to what was actually going on.
And what was the new information?
The new information was namely that this Australian investigator had found, he had come the night of the accident, and he's this world-renowned investigator, and he found out some information that there was a Fiat that came out of the tunnel 30 minutes after the accident, and the man, according to witnesses, was ducking down under his steering wheel, and he had a big dog in the back seat of the car with a muzzle over its nose. Okay, now I remember back during that time, I was listening to all the interviews, and you know, you always get the truth when you hear, when you stick into the news right when things happen, because typically those people will then disappear. You never hear from them again, and then they give you their own crazy story about what actually, about, you know, what they want you to believe. Well, there was a man that came, that got out of the car, he said, and he walked toward the accident. And he said when he got to the accident, he said there was a man and a big dog inside the car, which I thought was so strange.
What do you mean inside? Inside what car?
Inside the car right after the accident. This man was a witness.
Inside a separate car or inside the crashed car?
Inside the crashed car.
After they took all the bodies out, you mean?
No. This was right after it happened. This man.
So he was a passenger in the car with them all?
No. Okay, he was.
I'm really confused here, Bonnie.
Okay, the accident happened, right? Okay, this man was driving by. He was in the tunnel, and he stopped, and he got out of his vehicle, and he walked over to the accident.
All right. Okay.
And he saw that, and he attested to this, and this is, I remember this interview back then. He said there was a man, as he was approaching the car, there was a man and a big dog inside the car. Then he said, as I approached closer, he said they were trying to move her body to a vehicle, a black vehicle that was sitting in front of the car. Now, this vehicle is spoken about in the police reports, that there was a black vehicle in front of the Mercedes in the tunnel. And he said that when he saw her, her face was so torn and lacerated that part of it was missing and you could not recognize her.
Well, I would believe that. I think that was horrible.
Okay, but that they tried to attribute that to glass, but Mercedes glass doesn't do that.
What's the significance of the guy with the dog?
Well, that was that guy, okay, that was apparently in the Fiat that was coming out ducking down under a steering wheel. But that's not, okay, so that's just some foundation. So that gave me the clue of what was actually going on based on what I know about certain types of operations, okay, about the things that they do when they don't want.
Well, Bonnie, first of all, you haven't told us anything that's significant.
Okay, I'm getting to it, I promise. That's why I said it's going to take me about 3 minutes to explain. So so you couldn't tell who she was. Okay, now, the next day, they aired a show called Royal Secrets, and subtitled Harry the Spare Heir. And in the first minute of the show, they flashed a picture of the Mercedes, okay? And it was just a second on the screen. Well, there was something about it that caught my eye. So I paused it, and I walked over to this television. I have a large television. The picture was grainy, but it was an overhead shot of, very close shot of the right side of the vehicle. And what I saw absolutely blew me away.
What was that?
Okay. First of all, there was something in the front of the picture, on the bottom of the picture, that was blocking the white lines on the road. It was dark. And I was able to make out that it was, in fact, a dog. It was the most vicious-looking dog that I'd ever seen. But then right next to it, inside the vehicle, there were actually people in the vehicle. So I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at the front seat of the vehicle, and there is clearly a woman in the front seat, on the right side, who is wearing a purple satin dress with black satin. She's very tall, and the vehicle is crushed downward, so you can only see her from shoulders down. Her back is facing the window, and her head evidently is crushed from the crushing down of the car. Next to her, now this is sad, is the face of a little girl crushed between the glass and the dash, and next to her, on the left side, is you can see a person's head hanging out the window. Well, when I got up close to it, this is what made me fall down on the ground. Okay, you could tell who it was.
Who was
okay,
it?
You could definitely make out the white veil with the blue trim in the front over the head of an elderly woman.
Well, who was it?
Who is that? Who wears a white veil with blue trim in the front?
I have no idea.
Mother Teresa. It was Mother Teresa.
Oh, Bonnie, Mother Teresa. I think she died before that, didn't she?
She died. Her funeral, or her death was announced the day of Princess Diana's funeral. You don't have to believe me. All you have to do, if they don't destroy this picture, is watch this show.
Well, no, it's not a matter of believing you. It's just that there's so much strange artifacts and information about this thing. I mean, you talked about a guy with a dog, but you never explained what the guy with the dog was there for. So if you're going to bring it up, give us the good stuff. Let's go to Juneau, Alaska. Anthony's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Anthony, welcome to the show.
Long time listener, love the show.
Thank you, sir.
I mean,
did you have any idea where she was headed with that Princess Diana story?
No. I'm not
going
to make myself out to be a martyr, but the time frame does not match her.
No.
So I'm sorry for that. Well, the main thing is, the reason why I'm calling is I had a ghost ask whatever sighting.
A ghost sighting? What happened?
Yeah. Well, what happened was my ex-wife would profusely watch the ghost TV shows on A&E and all that stuff back in 2010, 2011, right? Ghost Hunters and all that stuff. And I thought that was just, tabloid TV. Anyways, 2011 in October, we're sitting in bed, and then she starts screaming.
Who does? Your wife?
My wife.
All right.
Yeah. So we've got a queen size bed. She's on my left, and she says, "Oh my God, I just saw a little man in his face thrusted to my face." I'm like, and I instantly thought that she was totally gravitated towards all those ghost hunter shows. Yeah. And so fast forward, that was October 2011. We go to her father's house. He's a widower now. His wife's been died a year ago. So he transpires and has pneumonia. He's 72.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
He dies?
Well, he died. We were there during holidays, and he held on to his best to see me, his wife, and the grandkids. And then, mind you, it's Thanksgiving, so he passed fires in December 5th of 2012. So she never goes to his funeral. That's what I thought was totally odd. But the main point is she goes down, celebration of life and all that stuff, in early December. So we're sitting in my house, in her house, in January of 2012, the same thing happens. We're laying in bed, and she starts screaming in the bed, just backpedaling.
Are these like nightmares for her or what?
Yeah, like nightmares. And I look over towards her feet, and George, what I saw was kind of like a bad video, bright video, out of focus of, because we had two boxers at the time, and I saw something, and I woke up from a dead sleep, and I took my, when you wake up from a dead sleep, you're mustering at all your gumption just to move, and I took my left hand, and what I saw was from the hindquarters of my dog, because that's what we had, two boxer dogs. One brindle, one fawn, and I saw the fawn boxer and was galloping in place towards her left feet. It was totally galloping.
Well, who do you think the ghost was?
It was her father. So I pushed it away. What I saw is I pushed it away, and she was screaming, backpedaling towards the headboard, and she was absolutely screaming.
And she was awake?
Yeah, she was absolutely awake. And she woke me up and was screaming.
Why is she screaming at a ghost of her father? Just petrified?
Well, she didn't know. I didn't know, but she was just backpedaling. And I pushed that apparition of what I saw, which was the dogs I know.
Well, yeah, Mom, my point is, why did she scream at her father?
I don't know.
Well, that's the whole crux of the story. Tom, what do you got for us?
I have a tweet from somebody named Bring It. Are you more entertained or freaked out at these scary stories? That's what he asks you.
Am I more freaked out at scary stories?
Or entertained? Which one?
It depends on what kind of story it is. Some of them are entertaining. Some of them aren't. I mean, Bonnie on her Princess Di story.
What was the dog?
I didn't understand that.
I was wanting to know what the dog was.
I didn't understand.
Speaking of dog, I got to ask you, did you actually ask a UPS man if they ship animals?
Well, they do.
How would they breathe?
The box has little holes in it. There's a company called Carolina Biological Supply. They ship frogs, insects,
no kidding,
lizards, ants. I used to order them. I was, you know, Mr. Junior Scientist when I was a kid, and they're still out there. And, you know, yeah, they ship them.
But in like a wrapped UPS package?
A UPS box or a FedEx box, sure.
Not dogs.
With air holes and stuff like that. And they said, live biologicals, you know, please deliver urgent.
Hey, what were those green things you bought? Praying mantis.
Little baby praying mantis I bought, and they all died in a day.
How did you get those? They shipped,
I ordered them from that store. Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool, isn't it?
It is, but why'd they die?
I didn't feed them in time, I guess, or something.
You didn't feed them?
No, a whole little army of baby praying mantis, all dead.
Remind me not to let you babysit Freddy, ever.
Freddy, I've babysat for Freddy sometimes.
Yeah, I wonder if you feed him when you babysit.
Of course I feed him.
Well, you didn't feed the praying mantis.
Well, I didn't know what to feed him. What do you feed a praying mantis?
You ordered them.
Maybe another praying mantis.
I don't know.
All right, we've got how much time? Time for Donovan in Seattle. That's what kind of time we have. Hi, Donovan.
Hey, George. How are you?
Okay.
This is awesome. First of all, I just wanted to say thank you. I've never really been political or spiritual. I mean, I have been through my whole life. But to get into this and start listening to your show, it's really opened up my eyes and
great.
Opened up my spirit.
We're doing the right thing. Thank you.
Yes, you are. So the story that I have, we were talking about the Ouija board, and my mom didn't relate this to me until later on in life, but when I was about 9 years old, our house burned down, and we were at church one night, and we could see this glow over the hill, and our pastor came driving up, and we were wondering what this was, and he said, Renee, your house is on fire, and we thought he was joking, and he was like, no, seriously, your house is on fire.
Wow, what a horrible thing to hear.
It was terrible, and our house was a really old house, and two stories. It had one of those old clawfoot tubs. It burned so hot that it was leveled to the ground, and the clawfoot tub was melted in half.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had a really negative, some really bad experiences with Ouija boards, and I told my mom about it when I was about 25, 26 years old, and she told me, she's like, Donovan, do you remember that night that our house burned down?
Oh.
Well, she had thrown her old Ouija board away and put it into our fireplace.
It's the Ouija board burned down the house. That's the only thing I could think of. Hey, thanks, Donovan. Appreciate that story. We're out of time. Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasore, Stephanie Smith, Chris Morris, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then. Be safe, everyone.